You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. I want to thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Ask a Black Doctor, Dr. Bukasi Dubé, and myself, DJ Ambush. And you know what? We can't introduce him as a guest anymore.
No, he is not.
We just can't. He's our third host, Dr. Christopher Evans. How are you guys this week?
Doing well, man. This is definitely the highlight of my week, you know, hanging out with you guys, shooting the breeze. Not just shooting the breeze, but also, you know, discussing very, very important issues that we need to tackle. So glad to see Dr. Evans here. Glad to see you, DJ Ambush.
And yes.
Dr. Evans.
Yeah. Glad to be here to see both of you. This is, as I always say, this is the highlight of my week when I get to join. So glad to be here.
I'm glad to hear that. It's not just me. It'd be weird if it was just me that was the highlight of my week. Okay. It's good. it's mutually received. Did have the opportunity to spend some time with Dr. Dubé over the weekend. Came on down to the studio to check out the Auxmute exhibits. That was great. And the museum was packed. There were a lot of people in here. They were masked up, although that's about to change relatively soon. And that's what this episode is about, the masking guidance. I did see something on Twitter just now that I believe it's in Philadelphia. They just announced they're done with masks. The mandate's over. Yeah. I'm not ready to wake up in that world yet. It's the 31st, right? We're looking at?
No, actually. So Governor Brown came out and said that it's going to be March 12th.
Okay.
Initially, she had said March 31st, or when the hospitalizations dropped down to less than 400, less than 400 people hospitalized due to COVID-19. But with the rapid decline in cases and the rapid decline in hospitalizations, I mean, I think cases have dropped by almost 80% since the peak in mid-January. That's why they switched to March 12th.
What can that be attributed to, the rapid decline in cases?
I mean, I think that, you know, a couple of things. So first, you know, vaccination rates in Oregon were high. The second thing I think is that I think we have a better appreciation for natural infections and natural immunity. And, you know, Omicron sort of did a wave, just got everybody. And so, you know, most people's immune systems were able to sort of see Omicron and, you know, probably develop some amount of antibodies. And so I think that, you know, viruses are only going to be able to infect if you're not immune or if you don't have any protection. And, you know, you can get protection from either a previous infection or from vaccines. So I think both those things at the same time probably helped decrease the cases. They also, you know, there's a saying I heard that, you know, pandemics come in like a lion and out like a lamb. Mm-hmm. You know, and no one really knows when a pandemic really sort of ends, because we may see kind of little petering cases along the way as things pop up. But, you know, I feel like, you know, we're definitely in a different place than we were last year.
Right. And then there are, you know, there have been some changes just to the way we've been living and also reporting that would have, you know, reflections on the numbers declining too, with everyone doing at-home tests and things like that.
That is so true.
Yeah.
One of the things I remember thinking about in the beginning of the pandemic, and I used the analogy about HIV, and I always thought that when we would really sort of get ahead of the pandemic was when we have easy testing and easy treatments, or easier treatments, and when, you know, and not hospitalized treatments, but treatments where you can go to your local pharmacy and get your pills. And so I feel like, you know, that's what we had, you know, for when HIV came out, we didn't have easy testing, but then we were able to test people. People's behaviors changed when they found that they were positive. So, you know, when you know you have COVID, you're more likely to stay home. And then two, when you were sick, we were able to treat you. So I feel like so many different pandemics in the past, we've gotten to a point where now hopefully you can go to your local CVS or Walgreens or whatever and get, you know, Paxlovid or something as more and more therapeutics come online for availability.
So in other words, we've reached herd immunity. I've been using all the catchphrases.
Yeah. So it's one of my least favorite terms because it comes at a cost, right? You had people, the naysayers, the anti-vaxxers were saying that, oh, let's just get everybody infected and then we'll get to herd immunity. For me, it has become a very emotive term because we don't recognize the cost that comes with getting infected, like long COVID, right? Or getting sick, getting so sick you need to be hospitalized or even dying from this. So yes, we may have reached that point where most of our immune systems have encountered the coronavirus, be it via infection or via the vaccines. Obviously, the best way to encounter it is via vaccine. But there are some people who chose not to get vaccinated and ended up getting either Delta or Omicron or previous variants. Yeah. So yes, we are at that point where that's commonly referred to as herd immunity.
Terrible.
One thing too I was going to add is that not everybody, not all of our neighbors or relatives may have gotten the benefit of say a vaccine, because if people are severely immunocompromised, say you're a transplant patient, even though you might be vaccinated, part of being on a transplant, getting an organ is suppressing your immune system. So, those folks may still be at risk. Now there are newer therapeutics like some of the monoclonal infusions that you can get for prophylaxis. But, I always say that, majority of us, we may be okay, but, severely immunocompromised folks still need to be careful because, they can definitely have more risks associated with being on mask for everyone now.
Are there any alternatives to vaccines for people who are immunocompromised other than, of course, masking up and, being as hygienic as possible? There are people that had illegitimate concerns, and there are those that actually do have legitimate concerns in our communities. Maybe someone with lupus or, congestive heart failure or something that where they feel as though, the vaccine may not be what they want to do. Are there other options?
Yeah, so you bring up a very good point and something that Dr. Evans touched on briefly, which is some of the therapies that we have, right? That can be used prophylactically, meaning if you're exposed and you're high risk, you can go and get it, or early on in the illness. So the infusions, the monoclonal antibody infusions, or the oral medications that Pfizer and Merck have come out with. So those work really well in terms of preventing the progression of the disease. And they've been found to be incredibly effective. But DJ, you also pointed out something very important, which is we can still wear masks, right?
Right.
Actually, the masking mandate March 12th, the masking mandate comes down. But if you're someone that is immunocompromised for whatever reason, you should continue wearing a mask so that you're protected. The same mitigation factors that we've talked about from day one still work very well. Avoiding large crowds, good hand hygiene, avoiding travel, unnecessary travel, those sort of things still work very, very, very well. Physical distancing. So you can still continue to practice those things if you are a high risk individual.
I certainly will continue to practice those things. although I know some people are really, really excited and looking forward to, you know, the mask mandate going away. I'm not going to pretend to be someone who isn't affected by wearing a mask. Like, it would be great to not have to remember to put a mask on. It would be great to not be that guy that's in the shopping market that has to run back to the car because they forgot their mask. That is me. I hate being that person. It would be great to just move about the country freely. But for me, and for a great, you know, many of us, like, we're still concerned, still moving with concern, not ready to go yet. My brother, he's been going to the movies here and there. Certain ones will definitely pull him out of the house. And he bought tickets for Moonfall. And he asked me, he was like, you know, you're going to check it out? I said, jokingly, I said, I'm saving up my vaccine for Batman, for the Batman movie. I'm saving up. Going to keep my scorecard empty there. So, I mean, the mandate will be over and done with on the 12th. Initially, it was the 31st. Batman does come out this weekend. I'm presented with all types of challenges here. But let's definitely talk about what this means. So no one have to wear this one. This will mean, like, included in schools, places of employment, restaurants, any public space, no mask come the 12th.
So I think there's certain places that still will probably require masks. So healthcare facilities where there's direct patient care, masks are still encouraged. And that's, just here at OHSU, that's because we know that we're still seeing folks that are immunocompromised, people may be coming for chemotherapy. So I think to best protect our patients and ourselves, I think that, those really critical areas of healthcare still will have masks as recommended. So, yeah.
I think the mandate is not coming down in those places. The mandate is not coming down. The CDC and OHA are saying that masking is still required in healthcare settings, not just healthcare settings, and also transit. So if you're going to be flying, you are still going to be required to be wearing a mask after March 12th. If you're going to be jumping on a train, or getting on a bus to travel, you're still going to be required to wear a mask while you're in transit.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know. Hopping on the MAX, hopping on any type of public transportation, or yep. Lyft, Uber also. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I suspect that those companies, Lyft and Uber, for liability reasons, will continue to require folks to wear masks if they're going to be using that form of transportation.
Okay. Are business owners allowed to require employees or patrons to wear masks after the general public indoor mask requirements are lifted?
You know, it's up to the business, it's up to the individual business at this point. They can decide what measures they want to implement in their businesses, and they can they can decide whatever they want so as to protect their employees and of course to protect their customers. Mm-hmm. So if they decide that they want to require masks, then if you want to partake in whatever things that they have to offer, then you have to wear a mask.
Yeah, I mean, businesses have always done that, though. I mean, I think the famous sign, no shoes, no shirt, no service. Yeah. So, right. So, you know, they have, unless you're at the beach. So, you know, I think that businesses have long had a history of deciding how people can enter their businesses. You know, there are restaurants that you can't get in and have dinner without a jacket. So, you know, it's still, there's still sort of, you know, ownership about what can and can't be done within a business, private business space.
The very interesting part about that particular example that you're giving is when that line of reasoning and logic was applied to wearing a mask, people were losing their minds. You know, like, I remember using that example with other people. They had no shirt, no shoes, no service. They make the rules. They make the rules for their own establishment. And now, you know, you having to wear a mask is against some type of civil liberty that you're losing all of a sudden. Like, you know, they're screaming HIPAA laws and things. It's like, okay, all right. Probably just go next door and have a meal somewhere else, or, you know.
Yeah.
Or go home and cook. But
you bring up something hilarious. I saw a bumper sticker. This is a while ago. I saw, well, this was on a some TV. It was on TV where back in the 80s, people used to have bumper stickers that said, take your click it and F it. Meaning when folks were being told to wear their seatbelts, right?
Yes.
And so they were reappropriating this to say, take your mask and F it.
Wow.
Which is the same thing, right? It'll take a while before people are used to this idea of it's the right thing to do to wear your mask, especially in the winter, during the flu season. Now we'll be saying during the corona season.
Mm. So.
Oh, I was going to just say too that, you know, I know wearing a mask can be so divisive for so many people. It's a, you know, it's a hot button issue, but, you know, I also think too that, you know, the person asking you to wear a mask may have an underlying health condition and they may be asking to do this for their own personal safety. You know, the mask sort of prevents infection for the wearer, but it also prevents transmission to who may be sort of like a close proximity. So, you know, I feel like to be a good neighbor, you know, maybe this is the kind of thing that you do. You never know what other people are going through. And to do this may be beneficial for the other person, may not be for yourself, but maybe for the person that you're interacting with.
Right. No one's asking you to wear a mask to harm you. And because they don't like you or they think you're right. That's not what's going on. This is certainly about health. Will masks be required in spectator sports and indoor concerts? Do we have any guidance on that yet?
So that depends, right? Some facilities may require you for people to wear masks. It's entirely up to the business to determine who will be required to wear a mask and not who will be required, if they will allow no masking in their facilities. So you can imagine at some concerts, at some small tiny concert halls, they'll say, you know what, we'll still require masking for everybody. Whereas if you go out and watch the Timbers, they may say, oh, don't worry about masks, right? Just a different venue, different right. setting.
Okay. And of course, indoor, outdoor does play a factor.
Yep.
How concerned should we be about outdoor gatherings, you know, large festivals and concerts and things like that?
I mean, we've I think we've known that COVID is spread primarily when there are small spaces with poor circulation. You know, so in general, we'd say that outdoor spaces where, you know, you have, you know, sort of decreased risk of transmission is probably lower. I think if you're at a outdoor space where, you know, you're walking by, I think your risk is probably low. You know, that said, you know, you interact with people, someone's in your face, things can be spread just because you're having face-to-face contact with someone. So right. To be vaccinated, I think, you know, if you're fully vaccinated in your outdoor space, I don't think I would be greatly concerned. But I think if you're in an indoor space, I think the risks, of course, go up. Yeah.
Does any of this, are there any... Will there be any changes to quarantine requirements?
Yeah, so I'm sure our listeners here have heard about what's going to happen with come March 12th with regards to quarantining, right? So people are no longer going to be required to quarantine after being exposed to someone else who has COVID-19, right? And this applies to the general public and even our schools. And the thinking behind this is that the vast majority of the state has, like Dr. Evans was saying earlier, the vast majority of the state, and like DJ was saying as well, was saying that we've reached herd immunity. The vast majority of the state has encountered the virus one way or the other, or either via true infection or not the virus, but the genetic material via vaccination. So, so at this point, that informs the public health folks to say, you know, the tools that we used, at least this particular tool that we used, the quarantining tool, is no longer as effective. Because most people have been exposed to, most people have developed some immunity. And then we also know that the issue of quarantining is no longer as effective as it was at, early on in the pandemic. I'm sure Dr. Evans has some thoughts on that, and being that he's the expert on this.
About quarantining, I missed the question. I'm sorry. It was about quarantining.
Oh, yes. So in terms of what's happened with what's going to happen with quarantining. So OHA is dropping the quarantining requirement after exposure coming March 12th.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the big issue, of course, is that, you know, if you're vaccinated and you're exposed, that you don't really need to quarantine. I mean, I would probably say the caveat is if you're sick, you should stay home. Yes. So I think, you know, it's not just like, I got, you know, exposed, but really if you're sick and you know you have COVID, then really try to quarantine, stay home, and so that you don't pass it along to anyone else. But I feel like this goes part and parcel with the flu. Like, you know, if you have flu, you stay home. If you're sick, you stay home. If you're coughing, you stay home. Because, you know, and this is going to be, should be built into practice, because COVID's not going anywhere. COVID's here. And, you know, it's going to be, it's part of our lexicon for how many, it's going to be part of our lexicon for the next couple of years. You know, who knows if we'll have new resurgences, but still, you know, this goes with any sort of respiratory illness, that you want to stay away from folks when you're ill.
You hear that? You hear that, folks? Do you hear that, listeners? Quarantining does not go away completely for everyone. If you are infected and you are showing symptoms, you don't get to run out to the parties and to the clubs and run up to the DJ booth and ask me to play a song. You should be home. You should be in your house until you're well. This is no different than anything else that you have or may catch that is contagious. Please stay away from other people.
I was just going to ask. I was just going to ask Dr. Evans to speak a little about the BA2 and how that's going to impact. BA2 is what has been dubbed the stealth Omicron by the media. How that's going to impact all of this? The coming down of masking mandates and quarantining, etc.
Yeah. So thanks, Dr. Bay. So, you know, BA2, you know, the big concern when it first was discovered is that it is highly, highly, highly mutated as things are, and I think this goes with all of the mutations we've seen from Delta to Omicron, is that each subsequent generation has, you know, more mutations. I think when I see this, though, it's always the question about whether or not our preventative tactics, such as vaccines, are effective. And so far, I haven't seen any evidence that, you know, our current vaccines are not going to work against the new variants of COVID. Now, that said, you know, and I hope we never get there, you know, maybe we'll see a mutation in the future where our vaccines are just not as effective. And, you know, I don't want to get to that day, but, you know, something to kind of keep in mind. It seems to be a little bit more transmittable than the current Omicron. I don't know if that's even possible, because everyone said Omicron could be transmitted really well, but it seems to be 30% more infective with being transmitted. So right now, as far as I know, Omicron still are dominant variant, but as things become more transmittable, they outcompete, and then, you know, maybe this will be sort of, if it can find a foothold in a population where people are not protected by a vaccine or either by prior infections, then it will spread. But I just don't think that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
That was definitely going to be my next question. You know, how comfortable should we be with, you know, getting used to not wearing masks again and not quarantining? Like, is the next variant right around the corner? And, you know, what does that look like for us? I know everyone has COVID fatigue and mask fatigue. But, I mean, it is possible, right, that 3-4 months from now, we're putting masks back on in public.
Yeah, so you remember, right? You remember last year when President Biden declared victory and everybody was lifting. Remember last year, just before the summer, we removed masks and we removed all the restrictions and people were out and doing whatever they wanted, and boom, Delta hit us and hit us really hard, right?
Yeah.
That's what people are afraid of. That's what a lot of folks are paying attention to, variants of concern and how they're playing out wherever they've been discovered. That's what it's at the forefront of everybody's mind. So we have to be, public health folks have to be very mindful of those things, and they have to pay very, very, very close attention to the data that's coming out.
And I'd probably just add too, I think if anything, hopefully we're a little better prepared from the infrastructure, from now testing or therapeutics, and also from sampling. You know, I don't think we were doing the best job before sort of sampling to pick up when a variant was here. You know, when the news said, oh, you know, we see Delta in, you know, name a country outside the United States, you know, it's not here in the United States. I'm like, yes, it is. Like, we just haven't picked it up as yet. So hopefully we'll get to a point, you know, that our public health, you know, I think this also gives a big shout out to all of our public health folks who've worked so hard have been working hard before the pandemic and had like a Herculean task during the pandemic, that we need to invest in our public health systems.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be sort of the guardrails for you know, all of us, so that we don't sort of fall back into a period of you know, uncontrolled infection. So there needs to be surveillance. People need to have access to therapeutics, and then we need to pivot if we need to. So yeah.
But there are countries that haven't gotten their amount of vaccines that they need to really fight this. So while we're in a place where we're able to take our masks off and not quarantine, there are still countries that are pretty much still in the thick of it, right?
Yeah. So you know, you bring up something very important. I'm from Zimbabwe, born and raised, right? And so it just occurred to me that I've spent most of my life in the U.S., that I can no longer claim to be Zimbabwe.
Never forget. No, yeah, you
yeah,
always
I'm,
claim
I'm
it.
American. Always claim this it. Is my home country now. But but I'm from Zimbabwe, right? So I know that in Zimbabwe they're not even at 50% in terms of vaccination rates. Or I know the same thing is true in Uganda. I know the same thing is true in South Africa. It's something that a global vaccine equity is something that we should take very seriously, because if we are not talking about it, if we're not actively advocating our politicians, our policymakers to make these vaccines readily available to folks in the rest of the world, we're only harming ourselves. So to me, this is something that's very, very, very near and dear to me, not only because I'm from Zimbabwe, but I recognize the fact that my adopted homeland, Portland, is in trouble if we're not vaccinating people in Zimbabwe, in Botswana, in South Africa, in you name it, in Afghanistan, you name it, right?
vaccines, I mean, viruses know no borders.
They don't need passports.
They don't need passports. So, you know, Delta did not need a passport. Delta was here. And so, you know, policies that are made for, as Dr. Dubé said, about vaccine equity, it needs to encompass everyone, not just those who have. We need to make sure that everyone has access. It shouldn't be about money, where you're born or station. It should be that you get access to this life-saving treatment or prevention.
Agreed. Well, we'll have to just, you know, keep our eyes and ears out and wait for what we hope will be an uneventful summer and spring. That would be great. That would be awesome. But we'll stay on the job here at Ask a Black Doctor. You guys can make sure you check in with us every single week. All the information we discussed today will be in the comments. Any final words before we sign off?
Stay safe. And what do they say? If take care of yourself. And if you can take care of somebody else, please reach out to somebody else and extend a hand.
Absolutely.
Completely agree. Couldn't have said any better.
All right, now, we will catch you all next week. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.